I'm ready.
Or we don't have to, whatever.
I'm turning in a vintage performance.
I'm ready for it.
I'm calling my shot.
So you're Owen Nolan and the podcast is Dominic Hasek?
No, I'm Babe Ruth.
Oh.
I'm not a minor leaguer.
Wow. I mean,
I love Owen Nolan, but Babe Ruth is the babe.
You're throwing shade at Bay Area sports legends?
Owen Nolan is not a legend by any measure. Like, that's literally an insult to the word legend. Maybe legend in that his greatness is fictitious. I don't know. Like, good player, sure. Maybe even great player. Legend? No. Gretzky or Lemieux. Those are legends.
Our friendship is falling apart.
Those are legends. You don't get to be a legend. Like, even Joe Thornton, you could say, is a legend. But, nah, come on now.
Dude, I don't think Dr. Phil could save this.
That's an insult.
This thing that's happening
that's
right now.
That's an insult to the word legend. Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined by Nick and Joe Berger. First podcast this week. It's a Friday night. A little chilly, but it's all good. It's Friday. A lot has happened in the National Hockey League. Biggest headline, the one we've all been waiting for. Claude Julien, head coach of the Boston Bruins, is no longer the head coach of the Boston Bruins, and he's now the hottest coaching free agent on the market right now.
Some team, probably Vegas, is
no.
going to be licking their chops.
Yeah. What I read the day he got fired, or maybe it was the day after, was that, I can't remember the GM's name, Vegas's GM and then Florida were also curious about...
George McPhee.
Yeah. Whatever. We're curious about if they could talk to Julien for the head coaching position. I think Florida came out shortly after that and said, no, it's fine. And, you know, then it was sort of died at that.
Yeah, it seems like the teams that are interested right now are Florida, Vegas, maybe the Islanders. The Islanders are kind of unclear. It seems like they might be more interested in Gerard Gallant. I don't know about Hitchcock, but yeah.
They are on the upswing with Doug Weight, so.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot to say that hasn't already been said, so I don't want to rehash everything. Mm. I don't think that Claude Julien was necessarily the problem with the Bruins, but I also think that there was so much tension between him and the front office and ownership that it was just time. Like, I'm not saying that was the perfect time to do it, especially the day of the Patriots parade. clearly that's a move to, I mean, heck, some of the journalists couldn't make it because of traffic, because of the parade,
right,
to the press conference. I mean, there's no real rational way to justify this move. All you have to know is that Claude Julien didn't fit into their plans. They didn't like him at all. I mean, there was that thing that came out that, he once accidentally received an email basically bashing his like coaching style or whatever.
I heard about that.
So, look, it was a messy situation. The team wasn't doing well. They had the excuse, and they took it. And I think Mike Babcock put it best. I'm just paraphrasing him. Basically, they're not going to do any better.
No.
Like, there's not a coach out there except maybe Ken Hitchcock who can even come close.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with NHL coaching is that ultimately – you have to be able to put different philosophical differences aside. If you have to be aware of how good you have it, and you're seeing it right now with teams like the Ducks. They had one of the five best coaches in the league, Bruce Boudreau. We're steamrolling the Pacific Division every season for the last 4 years. This season they get Randy Carlyle and they look kind of mediocre, right? They just don't look like anything special. You know, the Ducks have a good roster. They have some young pieces, especially on the blue line, but you can just tell that they don't really have the coach to tease all that talent out and really accentuate it. So with Julien, it's the same thing. They're not going to be able to do any better. And I know that there's a lot of talk about them tearing it down now, about restructuring the roster. It sounds from what it sounds like, they have a lot of talent coming through the pipeline. They have what's his name, McAvoy, who's playing at BU. It seems like the minute he's done with college hockey, he's going to become a Boston Bruin. But, I don't know. The Bruins are a mess, and I'm, like, really okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, they're already in a transition period because Chara is getting older and is sort of a shadow of what he once was. And they have some good pieces. You know, Pasternak and Marchand are both playing great, and Bergeron Yeah. Got off to a tough start, but he's on the upswing. But there's just a lot of holes on the roster, especially, I think, defensively. And also, backup goaltending has been a huge issue because they do not win when Tuukka Rask doesn't start. So they're sort of in, I think, a transition period, which is not Claude Julien's fault, but they're sort of on the cusp. They're, I think, holding down the last wild card spot. So I think they saw this as their opportunity to get rid of a guy that it seemed like they were trying to get rid of for 11 years.
Yeah, but you know, you say they're in a transition period, and it sort of makes it sound like that they're gunning for, you know, they're trying to retool, and bringing David Backes, I realize, is, you know, a retooling. But they screwed up paying him $6 million a year for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, they handcuffed themselves by doing that.
Yeah, so, you know, any sort of retooling is going to be kind of hampered, you know, just by that one signing alone.
Well, that's a terrible contract. We all knew it. And look, yeah, they have their core with Marchand and Bergeron. And, you know, I don't know what Torrey Krug's future is in Boston. David Krejci, I think that's also a bad contract.
It is.
He's such a wild card.
But Brad Marchand is like secretly 28, and yeah. Bergeron's 31. Like, these guys are effectively, I mean, I think Bergeron's still very good. I mean, he's probably one of the like 5 or 7 best skaters in the league.
And as long as he has his legs, he'll continue to be good.
But the thing is, he's 31, and like when it happens, it's going to happen fast, yeah. Because especially the way he plays. And with Marchand, it's kind of the same thing. He plays on the edge. And, I mean, he's only 28, you know, so he's still got 2 more years of, you know, very good hockey, but he's still probably on the other side of his prime.
But, yeah, if you look at it, like, you know, his 2 more years, and, you know, Boston needs, you know, if they're trying to retool to get back to the Cup, it's probably going to take longer than 2 years.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, and like, I hate to take this move, this firing, literally, because everyone knows there's nothing, like I said before, there's nothing rational about it. But when you kind of dig a little deeper, what did they even expect from this season? What did they expect from this roster? You know, the only reason really that they were disappointed is because Claude Julien, due to his excellent coaching, was able to make something out of this roster and take it to where it probably couldn't have gone otherwise. Like, this is a damn good team, or at least was playing very well. It's just they were horribly unlucky, really bad goaltending, like you said, outside of Rask. So you put those things together, and that's kind of out of the coach's control. So, you know, the fact that they're even in this position where they can be kind of disappointed at the outcome speaks more to the job Julien was even doing. So I don't know what they expected from the season. Like, what? Get the last wild card? A wild card, maybe 3rd in the Atlantic? Like, what does that ultimately get you? So I'm a...
That's another thing. You know,
I just don't know what they're doing.
They're struggling in the Atlantic.
Yeah, and right now, the Canadians are really struggling. The Lightning have just had a really bad season. I mean, for crying out loud, the Senators are 2nd. So, and, you know, you get Toronto that's coming up. But again, it's one of those things where I don't know what they expected from this roster this season. Like, no one looked at this roster before this season. Some people said that they were probably better than they appeared. But no one looked at this and was like, yeah, this is a team that's going to go 3 rounds deep. No one was saying that.
They look on paper like they should be exactly where they are, which is the last wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could even be a little bit better than that. Like, I think that they put together a decent roster.
It's like thoroughly decent. It's like nothing more than that.
Well, I mean, you look at especially their top 6, and they have some good guys. I mean, don't forget David Pastrnak.
I didn't
Ryan forget about Spooner. I mean, they have good players, and even on defense, I mean, they've made it work, and no one expected that. That's the thing. Everyone expected before the season that the blue line was going to kill them, and then offensively is where they would shine, and it's been the opposite. They haven't been able to score, but they've been one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really kind of crazy how it all went down.
And that's going to be interesting to watch, you know, how their game changes under a new coach. Because, you know, a guy like Claude Julien, you've seen it before where teams struggle in certain areas and they've had to double down in another area. So if, you know, without Claude Julien, do their offensive problems still persist? And then if so, is their defense still going to be able to bail them out? Or does that take a downturn without Julien?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that one point that could be made about, you could say maybe was a reason to fire Julian, is that sometimes they were too defensive and they tried too hard to play that shutdown game instead of, you know, just letting the guys skate. Because I think that there was a bit of that push from the front office to go towards a more offensive style, because they have the horses to do it up front. I mean, if you allow this team to skate and get out in transition, they're one of the best. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that good, but they have the capability. So maybe Julian was muddling them a little bit. I'm not convinced that this could be like a Dallas Stars team.
No.
You know?
No.
Even if they were allowed to play that way. They just don't really have the youth. And I know that Marchand and Bergeron are great, but look, outside of that, quality forwards, I'm just not sure they could play that style.
Yeah. I think they're just lacking. They have a lot of good pieces, but, you know, in their bottom six, you know, Dominic Moore is a good, you know, fourth line player. I think he's a little above average as far as fourth liners go, but I just feel like it's not a complete roster.
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of a long time coming. Like they've given up a lot of assets for nothing. You know, I mean, the biggest one is Tyler Seguin. And I know,
what a mistake.
Well, I've heard people say that he would have never been the Tyler Seguin now in Boston.
Probably.
But see, that's improvable though. I don't like those kind of arguments, because you can't prove that person wrong. You know, it's kind of like you can say that and no one can really say anything. I think that I still like my chances of Tyler Seguin in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's 75% of what he is now, that's still a damn good player.
Oh yeah.
You know,
sure.
So it's easy to nitpick. It's easy to kick the horse while it's down. I look at this franchise and this team and I wonder what the next step is. I think ultimately they have enough talent to matter as long as they make the right margin, the right moves on the margins in the offseason. But in a weird way, they should still be all in, because their window is still kind of now in terms of their personnel.
I feel like that's why they brought in Backes.
Yeah. I mean, everything they've done in the past year or two, maybe even three, has all mapped to being in the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. They're trying to matter, you know, and they're so stuck in this mentality of, we have to play Bruins hockey and we're going to go out and sign guys that mirror that. And, you know, you get a guy like David Backes, who is like the prototypical Boston Bruin.
Mm.
And I just hate to break it to him, but that's just not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, look at who their best players are. They don't play Bruins hockey. Like, they don't play the, you know, punch guys in the mouth. And then, you know, look at Pastrnak, skill guy.
Yeah.
Bergeron. Two-way force, but kind of a skill guy. Marchand, skill guy. Spooner. I mean, Krejci. Like,
yeah.
These aren't the big, bad Bruins.
Yeah, Torrey Krug. Small guy, a lot of skill.
Torrey Krug. And, you know, I know Chara's kind of a monster back there, but he's got some skill, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about...
And Carlo as well.
Yeah. Going all in on playing Bruins hockey. You know, once upon a time, you know, they have six Stanley Cups, and, you know, that worked five times.
Yeah.
Since the 70s, it's worked once.
Yeah, and also look at it this way. Who are they winning those cups with? Oh, Bobby Orr.
Phil Esposito.
I mean, especially with Orr. Like, that's not a Bruins player, per se.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a Canadiens fan, I don't feel all that bad for them, because they've definitely dug their own grave. But look, they make a couple of smart moves in the offseason. Their next coaching hire works out. They're right back in the mix.
I can see them being like the Sharks from a couple of years ago when they missed the playoffs, and then Doug Wilson brought in Joel Ward and Martin Jones and Paul Martin. I think they're just a few moves away from being very good, and I think they can turn it around quick and still get, you know, a couple more good years out of their core, like Marchand and Krejci and Bergeron, but they just have to make the right moves.
Well, because as long as you have that core, you can always continue to take swings at it, you know?
Yeah.
You should always be trying to maximize that core, because those are the guys you're building around. It's the same thing with the Sharks. As long as you have Thornton, as long as you have Marlowe, as long as you have Burns, Pavelski, you should be trying to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do otherwise. If you're not, trade them all.
Yeah.
You know, burn it down. There's no reason to have those guys. So that's why, like you were saying, with Doug Wilson, it was smart to just bring in supporting cast, because you might as well. You have this talent. It's been the same thing. I mean, we've seen it with every team that's won a Stanley Cup or been to the final. Look at the Penguins. As soon as they got serious about surrounding their stars with capable players, I mean, they won another cup.
Yeah.
You know, the Sheerys, the Rusts, even like a Matt Cullen on the fourth line.
Don't forget support the prototypical supporting player, Phil Kessel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then they kind of got Phil Kessel for not a whole lot.
He's just happy to be there.
You know, Eric Fair,
Nick Bonino.
Yeah, so it's like, and those aren't expensive guys, you know. Yeah. And it was the same thing with the Blackhawks. As soon as they brought in a supporting cast, you know, for their young stars, their homegrown stars, it worked out. And then same thing with LA. You know, you bring in a Gabrick, you bring in a Carter, and all of a sudden you're winning Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would equate the core of the Bruins to those teams, because as good as Bergeron is and Marchand, you know, can be, I don't know if I'd put them on that same level as like a Taves and Kane or a, you know, Thornton, Marlowe. Well, maybe. I don't know.
They could be.
They're up there. I mean, they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just we haven't seen it in a little while.
Yeah, I don't have them on the level of Crosby, Malkin, or Taves and Kane.
But to be fair, that's kind of like the very top.
Yeah, it's, you know, the top of the mountain.
I would have them near the top.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's funny because in hockey, we always say that like it's not like basketball where you don't need a star and you can really just build a complete team and it's a team game. And while that's certainly true, you think about it, you still need stars. Mm-hmm. You got to have franchise players to build around. I mean, I can't really think of a team off the top of my head in the last few years that's won a cup without like the guy.
Right.
You know, Crosby, Doughty, Taves, Kane, you know, going back to the Bruins, Bergeron, Chara in his prime, you know, Rask,
even guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg.
Yeah, Datsyuk, Zetterberg, you need stars. But then the thing is, the difference with hockey as opposed to basketball is that in basketball, you just need your stars and you need to be smart enough. You just got to like fill out your roster with capable guys, but really as long as you have those top guys, it'll figure itself out. You look at the Miami Heat, you know, outside of LeBron, Bosch, Wade, I mean, who do they have? Birdman, you know, Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole. I mean, this isn't like a murderer's row.
What's his name? Allen?
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Ray Allen. Yeah, but like Ray Allen at the tail end of his career. Hockey's a little different because ultimately your best guys are only going to be out there for like a third of the game. Right. So in basketball, they can be out there almost the entire game in the playoffs. So hockey, you got to find ways to be winning every shift, basically. And that's why having a good fourth line, a good third line is so important in today's NHL, because if you can just put a fourth line out there that's not going to get caved in and can just survive those minutes and maybe even score every once in a while, like, you're on your way to a Stanley Cup.
Right.
and that's why I still have faith in the Canadians, because you look at their fourth line and like Torrey Mitchell is going to get like 10 goals this year, yeah. You know, and for a fourth liner, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take that for my fourth line center.
Yeah. All that to say that although it looks bad in Boston right now, and it might not get a whole lot better depending on who their coaching is going to be, I still think they're capable of getting right back in there.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they were a little luckier this year, even if the puck was just going a little bit more, we might be talking about them as the President's Trophy favorites.
They made San Jose look stupid yesterday. Their power play made me dizzy.
They're a good team. They're not a bad team.
I expected them to win yesterday. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, like we said, they have enough talent. Like, you know, they're competent.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, after, you know, firing a guy like Julian, you know,
it's a wake up call.
Yeah. And yeah. They're going to put on a show, especially in Martin Jones' homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it, though, is just at some point their luck is going to turn around, because they have the worst shooting percentage in the league.
Yeah.
Like, and they're near the top in every category. You want to be near the top in shots, shot attempts, unblocked shot attempts, scoring chances. They're near the top in everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just colossal bad luck.
But it's Claude Julien's fault, so.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, they just found they're out. And it's unfortunate, because I don't think Julien was doing anything wrong.
No.
And that's kind of where other teams are at, going back to the franchise player thing. Like, look at the Leafs. Other people have had this conversation. I find it really fascinating that the Leafs are basically already at that point where they need to start thinking all in. When you got a guy like Marner and Matthews and Nylander, you shouldn't waste any time in surrounding those guys when they're all in their entry-level deals.
And you had the capability of surrounding them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Because of the fact that they're costing you a combined, like, what, not even $3
million, yeah.
You can go out and get some good free agents, and you get your Hossa.
Yeah,
you know, you get your Carter, and all of a sudden, boom.
Your Shattenkirk.
I mean, maybe. Look, they could use a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk. We'll see. And that's why it's such a shame with a team like Colorado or a team like Edmonton that it took them this long to figure out. And that's really where incompetency comes into play. Because if you have a guy like Matt Duchene, Landeskog, and MacKinnon, it shouldn't be that hard to put a good team together.
And you could still argue...
It shouldn't be that hard.
You could argue that Edmonton is still being incompetent. Yeah, they're being dragged along by Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
But, you know, signing guys like Lucic and trading Hall for
Who's having an awful season.
He's having a bad year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, big shocker there. Yeah.
Well, it is a little surprising, given that he's been decently productive.
And, you know, I suppose playing, you know, he was brought in to play on a line with McDavid.
And it just never worked out, which isn't all that surprising, considering that Lucic is, you know, not the fleetest of foot, and McDavid is, like, the fastest guy we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, stylistically, it never made a whole lot of sense. That's the thing with Edmonton. They really botched the development of the young guys. They sometimes even screwed up the draft picks themselves, like, you look at Nail Yakupov. And until they got a guy like McDavid, who's basically...
You can't miss.
Basically equitable to like a Crosby or a Lemieux, well then, yeah, you're going to be okay by default, yeah. You know? And I mean, they've improved enough on the margins. I think that you got to give them a little credit for some of the moves they made, like Patrick Maroon, you know, bringing in a guy like Cam Talbot.
It's just, you know...
But it took them a while to figure it out, and honestly, like 80% of it is Connor McDavid.
And their incompetence did get them McDavid. If they figured it out a couple years beforehand, they wouldn't have landed him.
Well, even though they didn't have the best odds to get him,
yeah,
like Buffalo should have had Connor McDavid. They had the best odds, and they were so bad that season. But they did get Jack Eichel, and Buffalo's another weird one.
Yeah,
you know, like I think their defense is actually really bad.
Yeah.
I like their forwards.
I can barely name their defense.
Well, Josh Georges.
Yeah.
And
the rotting corpse of Josh Georges.
And they still haven't replaced Ryan Miller.
Well, I think Leonard's okay.
Okay.
It's hard to judge a goaltender when the blue line is just so bad in front of him.
That's true.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Ristolainen, the jury's still out on him.
Except, you know, he's nuts.
I don't know, man. Like, I like the talent. Like, Jack Eichel is freaking good, man.
He's great.
Like, that guy, there was you see that goal he had against Nashville?
Probably.
Where he's coming in on the left wing, and he's a right-handed shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he pulls it, he does a little inside-out move, and then just...
Yeah, and goes through...
Wires it.
He did that move where he's coming down on his off wing, and then he
pulls up
and makes a hard move to the middle to get a shot off right away. And the move was so good, he was surrounded by three guys... And he wasn't touched by any of them. Yeah, he sort of had to be acrobatic going through all of them, but he wasn't touched, and he still got a great shot off. Obviously, he scored.
Yeah, I think Buffalo, as long as they can add some depth on the blue line, they're going to be really good.
Yeah.
Because when you have a guy like that, you're just bound to be good. So as much as I'm kind of wanting there to be a trade with Colorado, because everyone's talking about it with like every team, it would be kind of disappointing that they could never figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, you got three exceptionally talented players. I mean, Duchene, Landeskog, and MacKinnon. It's hard to do a lot much better than that. And to never figure that out, to never surround them, I mean, you suck at your job if you do that. Like, Joe Sakic should be out. He hasn't done anything to warrant being there.
Yeah.
If you think about it, what has he really done?
I mean, I think this...
He hasn't done anything. And he wasn't even going to fire Patrick Roy.
I mean, he was in a really hard position.
But he wasn't going to fire. Like,
no, I know.
That wasn't going to happen.
I don't know. And it's something that had to happen.
Like, it should have happened like 2 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, this trade deadline, maybe this free agency /
expansion draft.
Yeah. Well, you know, will really be telling of his intentions with the team.
He can protect all of his top guys. So he's not going to be hurting there.
I can't remember what year it was that Sakic came in, but he's had some things that it looked like it should have gone better than it did. Like, Semyon Varlamov, I think, had way more potential than what he's actually, you know, lived up to.
Yeah, but again, hard to judge a goalie when your team is so bad in front, you know?
Mm.
Like,
look
at that blue line, man. It's awful.
But he even struggled in Washington.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just... I think the goalies the last of your concerns when your defense is just bad.
No, I totally agree.
Like, I mean, yeah, maybe Varlamov's not as consistent, but he's probably league average.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really, and I think he's one of those goalies who can be, you get very hot.
Yeah.
You know?
When Tyson Barrie's their only defenseman, you have problems.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that they added Mark Barberio. I thought that was really smart.
That was a great move.
I mean, I don't think it's an accident that they have a former like analytics writer now working for them, and they picked him up. I don't think that's an accident.
No.
I mean, they're probably getting smarter because of that guy's presence. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that they make a move with Anaheim for them, because I think that if they can add, I don't know, a Josh Manson or a Cam Fowler or a Sammy Vatanen, like, they're going to get way better. Yeah, you know?
I agree.
I'm really curious what's going to happen with Anaheim. I can't stop thinking about it. Every day, it's like something, a little nugget of information comes out. And it's like, ooh.
On Twitter, every time I see them, you know, the Ducks come out with, you know, they've done this with the pairings, or they've sent this guy to the minors and called this person up. And you're always commenting, and I can tell you're getting anxious. You're just waiting. It's like,
I just want to know, man.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
It's funny because anytime I tweet about that stuff, that's what I get the most replies with. Because everyone, and I mean, rightfully so, man. I just want to know, like, and I think with Brandon Montour coming up, like he has, because that guy looks good.
He looks really good.
Yeah, and he's already a first pairing defenseman in my eyes.
So the fact that he hasn't been up the whole time is,
well, it's kind of a salary thing and like other bodies. I mean, it basically took Sammy Vatanen getting hurt for that to happen.
Yeah.
So,
don't worry, 18 more days.
Oh, is that to the trade deadline?
Yeah. Yeah. It's still March 1st.
I don't think it's March 1st.
No, it was 3 weeks out as of like a few days ago.
The whole schedule is a little off this year.
Yeah.
Man, I guess we'll have to talk about this. But like right now, the way I see it, your first pairing, Lindholm and Montour, and then second pairing, let's assuming they trade Fowler, then you got Theodore and Manson. And then on your third pairing, you can put Stoner and Vatanen.
Yeah.
Like that's a damn good blue line.
Yeah.
I mean, if Sami Vatanen's on your third pairing,
you're doing really well.
And you have all the right shot, left shot combinations, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. They have such an embarrassment of riches defensively and an embarrassment of a defenseman in Kevin Bieksa.
I just think... yeah. Basically, they have to trade either Vatanen or Fowler. It's one of those
and
two.
The thing is, I think it's Vatanen. Their attitude towards Fowler and you know the rest of the league's interest in him, his stock is never going to be higher.
Yeah,
and it you know it never should have been higher before now, and everyone wants him, and the Ducks want more.
Yeah,
when they should be like taking what they can get. You know, recognizing that you know they're basically stealing. You know whatever they're getting, and they still want more. And that attitude, I think, is going to, you know, it's not the last year of his deal. And it's still a $4 million deal, which is, you know, for what everyone thinks he is, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And even for what he is, it's still pretty reasonable.
Yeah. You know,
a very good rushing defenseman.
They're either going to, I don't think they're going to get rid of him.
No, I don't think so.
Because of, you know, what they think he is. And then ultimately, they're going to either have to let him go when his contract is up or pay him $2 or $3 million more.
Yeah. I think. I don't know. I don't really know who's in play. Because I think with Vatanen, the problem is his value is super low.
Yeah, he's not having a good year.
The way that Carlisle is coaching this team, it doesn't at all really play to his strengths. He just hasn't looked all that good. He hasn't been productive at all.
Mm.
So his value's never been lower. I don't know. I don't know what they get for him.
I think GMs are smart enough to know that he's better than this.
Oh, yeah. I think people... Of course, people know that, but I heard some people throwing out on Twitter that they should trade Vatanen and Theodore for like Landeskog. I'm like, no way.
That's aggressive.
No way. Like that's way too much.
That's aggressive.
If you're trading two, basically top pairing defensemen, one future top pairing and one, well, no one really knows with Theodore yet, but he's at least a top four in my eyes.
Mm.
Like a number four, number three. I can't really see him as a number one, but who knows. That's like his ceiling, maybe. Two of those guys for Landeskog, that's bad GMing.
Yeah, one of them, maybe, but not both.
Yeah, I'm...
Because...
Man, I can't wait. And who knows, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe the trade will happen before the expansion draft.
What you're saying about Vatanen's value being so much lower than it is, they don't really have a choice but to get rid of.
It has to be one him or Fowler because they're the biggest contracts,
and you know at
or Lindholm
because of all their forwards with no trade or no movement clauses, and Bieksa with his no trade clause,
which everyone says he's going to waive. It's like, I mean, okay. I don't want to be bad-mouthing any outlets, but there's one outlet that claims that they know that Bieksa is going to waive his no-movement clause because they have sources or whatever. And I've had people tell me this, like, on DM, on Twitter. And it's like, okay, I could say whatever I wanted to and say I had sources. You know what I mean? Like, anyone could say anything. It's like, even if you have these sources.
I mean, there was a time in journalism where saying you had sources or you know, whoever you were as a journalist, you know, had credibility. And, you know, it still does, just not as much as it used to. But now, because of everyone's rush to be first and also to sort of be, you know, for the headline, it's diminished a bit. So, like, it when someone says they have sources, I still think that even today that it, you know, they probably do, but it's still like it opens up the door for skepticism.
I don't know. Like, the whole point is, if that's what they're really writing this whole thing on, like, oh yeah, they're just going to get Bieksa to waive it and then there won't be any problems. I don't know. Again, that doesn't strike me as great GMing, because honestly, let's say, okay, hypothetically, Bieksa waives his no movement clause. They get to protect all four guys. Okay, that's great. But on the flip side, you've done nothing to improve. You haven't used one of your biggest trade chips to improve a clear weakness, which is up front. They struggle to score. They struggle to generate offense. Part of it is coaching, but part of it is just roster talent. And when you have an excess on the blue line, why wouldn't you flip one of those things to get a really good piece to improve your team long term? If you get a Landeskog or a Duchesne, and I'm not saying those are the only guys they could get, but if you get a guy in his early 20s, you're setting yourself up for long term success. You know, you're getting a guy who's going to be able to play with Raquel, you know, kind of take the mantle a little bit once Getzlaff and Perry really fall off, and Kessler as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like common sense, because it is, but they also need a coach that will maximize that potential, because Carlisle is not bringing the best offense out of anyone.
I'm out on Carlisle for sure.
Yeah,
I tried really hard to be as not optimistic, because for me it doesn't matter, but just sort
objective.
Of objective. I tried to be just see what happens here. You know, I didn't want to go into it thinking, oh yeah, it's just going to be same old Carlisle, and it hasn't been. The Ducks are still very good in some areas, but overall, there's no question that they're a weaker team. Not by a lot, but enough to where you can't really consider them one of the 5 to 7 teams that are favored for the Stanley Cup. It's as simple as that.
I mean, I don't think it's surprising that they have some really good players that are having bad years. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I know, yeah. Corey Perry's getting historically unlucky, but, you know, Vatanen is also not having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't think it's a surprise that some guys are struggling to produce under this team, because they're not generating the same looks that they have.
Right.
And now the power play is drying up. I don't know, man. Like, they're not even guaranteed a playoff spot right now. I mean, their odds are pretty good considering the field, but I think they're tied with Edmonton for second/third.
I think so.
Yeah, they have for a little bit now.
And honestly, if I were to, like, if they played Edmonton in a 7-game series today, I don't know who I would pick.
That's a tough one.
That is
a tough one.
Both of those teams have their weaknesses and their strengths. I don't really know who I would pick, to be honest.
Yeah.
Who's the better team?
I think it all depends on, this isn't breaking news, it all depends on Perry and Getzlaff. You know, if they get hot in the playoffs, you know, even if they continue doing what they're doing now, and Getzlaff hasn't been that bad.
He just hasn't been scoring. Yeah. He's leading the team in assists.
Yeah, so
he's actually like top 10 in the league in assists.
So pretty much if Perry, you know, like you said, you know, if his season really begins, you know, in the playoffs in April, then I can easily see them you know, giving Edmonton a run for the money and even completely outplaying them.
Yeah, but because they're clearly better defensively.
But yeah, it all stems from, you know, where's the issues at with Anaheim? Is a lot of this as a result of coaching and roster management, or is it like in Perry's case specifically, you know, just bad luck?
That's a series I think that would come down to special teams.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't know. I think honestly that it all depends with Anaheim how they compose their lines, because Edmonton will be the better team at 5-on-5. I think Edmonton's just faster, and I think Anaheim has and does struggle against fast teams, especially that McDavid line. And, you know, everyone talks about, oh, Kessler's going to shut down McDavid. No, he's not.
No,
no one's going to shut down McDavid.
No.
Maybe make his life miserable, but McDavid's going to score no matter what.
Yeah.
And if you're expending all your energy on that, they have skill in other lines too. So I don't know. I think Anaheim's still probably the better team, but that matchup doesn't favor them.
Yeah, I mean, Kessler's tough, but it's hard to be tough and physical when you can't catch a guy, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's going to be chasing McDavid all over the
ice. He's going to be yelling at him like when they're both back at the bench and then not be able to do anything on the ice.
And Kessler has done some really, like, they do that little ISO cam when they play the Oilers and when he's on McDavid, and he's just doing the silliest stuff. He'll be, like, holding his stick, or he'll be just, like, getting way too close to him. And it's just like, dude. Because the thing is, everyone's talking about how great of a season Kessler's having. And he's having a good season, but ever since that really hot start he had, he's kind of just been okay, you know? And part of it is just the way this team is being utilized. Carlisle's having that line. He's running them into the ground, basically, which is, like, super dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Like, I don't know. The way they looked last game, I'm a little optimistic, because I think if they can just get Raquel and Perry and keep those guys together. You know, sometimes with forward lines, it's a bit more about, sometimes it comes down to like pairings. You know, you need just two guys who really work well together, and then a third guy who just kind of fits in. And I think with Raquel and Perry, I really think that's a winning combination, because at this point, Perry's never been the fastest, but what's happened now is Getzlaff is, again, another guy, never been the fastest, but he's so slow now that I just think there's no room out there. And with Raquel, you have a guy who's always attacking, creating space, and it's just creating space for Perry, and he can jump in, cash in on rebounds, because that's probably the thing that Raquel is best at, which is saying quite a bit since he's good at a lot of things offensively, is that when he comes in off the rush, he's going to attack the defense, and he's just creating space all around him. You know, he's going to force them to make a decision, and then he can just dish it off into open space, and that's where Perry's money is. If he's the trailer, he's the guy out wide, he's just going to rifle that puck,
right?
And I like his odds. I mean, he's still getting his looks. You know, like last night, he scored his first goal. He got the puck behind the net and then circled it all the way around. He's a right-hand shot to the middle and then just, you know, shot at 5-hole. It wasn't a great shot. Good screen by Getzlaff. But he's been doing that all season. Still getting his shot. So, I don't know. I think that, and then you put Getzlaff with Richie. And Richie and Getzlaff have been really good together. The only time that Getzlaff has been really good at 5-on-5 this season has been with Richie, which is really weird.
That's interesting.
Considering that they're both really slow.
Yeah.
But something about that just works, you know? And I don't know, the Ducks just, they have such a hard time, like, adjusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about the Ducks so much, but I can go on about the Ducks forever. I can literally talk, like, I can talk about anything Ducks related. So
you're
I'm sorry.
When you've been all up in it for what, like 3 years now?
Yeah, it's just I'm like, I'm very deep into this.
And they continue giving ammunition.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like that with any team. You know, you follow a team for a certain amount of time and you just literally find out everything about it, and you can just see it happening, and it's actually really fun.
They're like the Church of Scientology. They just reeled you in. They just completely enveloped
like,
you.
Like, I can't imagine...
You've changed.
I can't imagine having to, like, cover another team, because then you have to learn everything all over again. You have to learn the players, their styles, their stats. You have to learn about the coach, the GM, even the owner. Like, there's... Covering a team or following a team is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because you really got to be on top of it.
You've pretty clearly picked up on a lot of idiosyncrasies.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you watch every game and stuff,
that you know, that's going to come.
I mean, it's like you guys with the Sharks. It's the same thing. By the way, speaking of the Sharks, Nick and I went to the Barracuda game.
Yes.
Barracuda Gulls. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. We had been talking about going to see the Gulls and the Barracuda for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because because our friend Sean, he knows one of the like video coaches with the Barracuda, and apparently the guy they were the most worried about before the game was Enroth.
Yeah.
He's been hot recently.
But he looked so bad. Really? Or not bad, but like just so slow, and like he's not a very big goalie, but he's got these like huge pads. He's like swimming in his chest protector.
Yeah. he's always looked like a 7-year-old that's playing goalie for the first time.
That's interesting because the stats came out on him in the minor leagues. It was like
he was like 6-0.
It was like a 10-game stretch. Yeah. And he had like a 960 something save percentage and like 1.75 goals against, something like that, and you know, then a bunch of shutouts, and it was like, oh wow, this guy's, you know, super hot, and you're like, when are we gonna see him back in the NHL? You're like, is he gonna be the next Peter Budaj? And you know, so it's kind of surprising that you say that. Yeah, he looked like crap though, you know. Those streaks often come to a head with a bad outing.
I don't want to say he looked bad, but he just looked kind of ordinary.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing about him that was like, oh my God, this guy. But it was cool, though. I mean, I've never been to an AHL game sitting that close. Like, we were super close, and there weren't a lot of people. So, you can hear the players talking on the ice. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a fun experience, and it was fun to see, because the Sharks had just sent down Kevin LeBanc. They just recently...
Yeah, what the heck is up with that?
Well, they just called him back up.
Oh, so it was like a money thing?
Yeah.
Probably. That's usually the case with those situations, but it was fun to see him.
He was like clearly the best player on that team.
Yeah, for sure. He was, when he was on the ice, the puck was in the goal zone and he was very noticeable. He was really creative. Like, he did a great job getting to the middle, and you know, he would sort of do that thing where you sort of hold your stick out, you know, kind of dangle it, and then you sort of pivot in towards the middle, and then you kind of have these passing options on either side.
Yeah, no, he played really well. And then, man, I don't know, Barclay Goodrow, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No.
He looks like a trade chip. That's kind of what he looks like.
I just don't think he's really all that good at anything, really. Like, he's just kind of okay in, like, every facet.
Like, I think he could be a decent fourth liner on most teams.
Yeah, because he's pretty fast, so...
Yeah.
He has qualities. It's just, I don't really think he has a good mind for the game.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like he's just kind of, I don't know, he's not really thinking it all that well out there. And again, like, it's all that old school scouting sometimes. You can be overthinking a little bit when you're analyzing players. But, you know, when you watch this much hockey, you kind of notice stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. So
I'm curious to see Julius Bergman
in
the NHL.
He filled out. He looks a lot bigger than he did in that training camp.
He's like 6'3", 205.
I think it was 6'1", 205.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty big.
And I didn't even realize he was that tall.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. And then it's just kind of crazy that they have him and Mueller in the AHL.
Yeah, Mueller isn't even good enough for the AHL.
Well, every time I watch him play, I'm never really blown away by anything he does. It's just like, okay, I get why an NHL team would want him or would think he's good because he's pretty big. And he skates well, and he doesn't really do anything that gets him all that noticed. Yeah. You know, he's kind of like a safe player. He's got like all those attributes you want in a defenseman, except he's just not really all that good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He's got the attributes, but without the substance.
Yeah. I don't think he really has the head for the game. He's been up a few times this year or for like a couple games. And there was one game when he was much more aggressive than I've really ever seen him in terms of jumping into the play. And
he scored a nice goal.
Yeah, joining the rush. Yeah, he had a nice slap shot goal. But I think he just doesn't really... He almost looks like the game at the NHL level moves too fast for him.
I mean, I think he could be an NHL defenseman. I think he probably already is one, like a sixth defenseman.
Yeah.
I think you could actually do a lot worse than Mirko Mueller as your sixth defenseman, because just a guy who can skate, can pass the puck. You know, he's not like one of those crazy first pass guys, but he could play.
Yeah. I haven't seen him enough. I think really, even the past two seasons, but when he was up for a considerable amount of games a couple of years ago, you say, you know, a guy who can pass a puck, and you know, a few years ago it was more like a guy who will force every pass up the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think with defensemen, A, you have to be patient, but B, you have to put them in the position to succeed also. And right. So with him, I don't know how they were using him and stuff. Who knows? And especially with young defensemen like that who like to make plays, I think as a coach, you have to let them know what the boundaries are and let them know what they can't do. But also, you can't overcoach them either. Mm. I think that's what happens a lot with defensemen with sort of offensive instincts, is that they kind of just get it coached out of them. I think that's what happened with Nathan Beaulieu in Montreal, where he's, like, when he first came up, he was always trying, like, crazy passes, and sometimes it would bite him in the ass a little bit. But it was good to see that. And if he could just rein that in a little bit, he'd have been a great player. Now, he's still a decent defenseman, but he just doesn't really try anything anymore. He's always chipping the puck out. And it sucks because I feel like there's a lot of... It's kind of like... Those are the guys you want on your third pairing, really, is the guys who had that in them, but now they don't, and you just kind of want to give them the room to work with it. It's kind of like when you get failed prospects on your fourth line, you know, like a Sam Gagner or, you know, even like a Christopher Stieg.
James Shepard.
Yeah, just guys who were once highly touted or had offensive instincts in junior or even good results, but just never cracked it. You put that guy in your fourth line, he's going to do some work. He's going to do some damage. I think it's kind of the same way with defensemen.
Yeah. I can understand the rationale with defensemen because they're literally the last line of defense. So I understand being apprehensive about them being too creative or taking risks, because if they turned it over, you're screwed. But like, imagine if they tried to coach the creativity out of Burns or Subban. You could argue that some coaches have tried to do that.
Well, yeah.
Like, imagine the dynamic of your team that you're losing if you do that.
Yeah. You know? I actually was talking about Burns. I saw someone say the other day on Twitter, and I thought it was pretty funny, that the people that are arguing for Burns as the Norris this year, like with the rationale of, you know, the numbers he's putting up, are, and like, if you were at all arguing against Carlson last year, like, you don't deserve to be saying Burns, because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, because it's Brent Burns.
But part of it with Burns is, now you compare, like, we're comparing him to forwards, and you're like, he's, you know, what, like, but 3 points away behind Crosby. So now you bring in Crosby's name, and suddenly people become a little more aware.
But I mean, let's be honest, he's not even in the top three in scoring. Like, he's not that productive, you know.
He's tied for third.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah, well, right, my point is, Carlson was right up there last year too.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, the reality is, it's because he's Canadian. He's got the beard,
and it's
a marketable guy.
It's his turn,
and he's due or whatever. It's just, like,
he was in the cup last year.
Like, if Carlson was just some Canadian boy from, like, Red Deer, Alberta, or whatever, he would have won it handily last year. You know, like, let's be honest, man. That's what it comes down to most of the time.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
bias.
There's a lot of bias in the NHL against European players still. And look, I love Brent Burns. I'm not even trying to say that he doesn't deserve it, because I think he's been great, just like everyone else thinks so. But I would have picked Carlson last year, and for whatever reason, Doughty got it. Yeah. Drew Doughty got it, man. Like, what the?
Yeah, I would have picked Carlson too.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like a point per game player last year?
Yeah, he had like 70-something points.
That's so stupid.
As a defenseman. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, when it's Erik Karlsson, it's like, oh, well, he's too risky, or... oh, he should be playing forward. But when it's Burns, it's like, oh, look at that beard. You know, look at Chewbacca. It's like, give me a break.
He did it on purpose. That's
don't,
why
don't even pretend, man.
We just figured out why he grew that beard. It was to distract everyone.
Chewy shot first. You're like, that's not the quote.
We all got played.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, seriously, if Brent Burns was not Canadian, he would be reviled for his playing style. I honestly think that, like, if he was Russian.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was, like, Burnsov. Or,
yeah, he would be, like, no one would take him seriously.
Yeah, everyone would be trying to make him fit the mold.
He would be talked about the same way as Alex Radulov.
Yeah, except as a defenseman.
Yeah.
Man, Radulov's been so good this year.
He has.
I think he might be the MVP for the Habs.
Oh, yeah, easy.
He's been that good.
Like, he's the driving force behind their offense.
He's so, so good. I mean, but Pacioretty's, I mean, he's already almost at 30 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got like 27 now.
Yeah, he's snuck right up there.
Yeah.
It happened fast.
Yeah. So take that, haters.
You made me really look pretty bad about Radulov and Stahl.
Would you look at that?
Feel kind of stupid.
Would you look at that? Me being right yet again about something hockey related.
feeling not very smart.
I'm not gonna lie. I tend to be wrong about a lot of things outside of hockey, but this is my domain.
Yeah.
I like being right in this domain.
This is your house.
The only thing I've been really wrong on is the Blues in the last like 5 years. I always pick them and they never pan out.
This is a bit.
Actually, last year I picked. Okay, to be fair. Last season, I picked Pittsburgh to win the cup, and they did.
Nice.
So,
wait, at what point in the season did you pick them?
Well, before the playoffs, when we were making brackets, I had them. Yeah, I actually had Anaheim and Pittsburgh in the final.
Yes, you did. I remember that.
And
that didn't work.
Anaheim should have made at least gotten the conference final. Yeah. But they blew it in the first round against Nashville.
Yeah.
And then Nashville just kind of got...
Nashville was good last year.
Yeah. But they lost in the second round.
Like, of the first three rounds that the Sharks played, their toughest competition was in the second against Nashville.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even St. Louis?
No.
St. Louis had nothing.
Yeah, because they had to beat Chicago.
Because, if you watch that series, in the opening minutes of the first game, David Backes tugged on Joe Thornton's beard to try and get him off his game. And when Thornton didn't bite, it was like, oh, shit, we've got nothing.
Our game plan didn't work.
Yeah, well...
Like, you could see the entire series.
Who did St. Louis have to play? I'm, like, forgetting now.
Did they play Chicago?
Yeah, well, they definitely played Chicago in the first round.
Did they play Minnesota?
Was it Minnesota? Oh, this is frustrating.
Hold on a second. I got it.
All right. Well, while Joe figures it out. Yeah, I mean... I don't know what we're talking about, man.
I mean,
me patting myself on the back for being right about Eric Staal. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, every time I watch Minnesota play, it becomes like more painfully obvious how wrong I was about that.
Well, I didn't think he'd be like this good. I think I did say 60 points, though.
I think you did.
I did say 60 points.
I think, and for Radulov, I think I said like 49.
I said 70.
You said 70.
I don't know. I can't even think where he's at right now. I think he's got like 14 goals.
Mm.
And 20-something assists, so maybe.
So we could both still be right about him, depending on how things go.
They played Chicago, then Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
Dallas, that's yes. Right.
Both series went 7 games.
That's right. Okay, that's why they were so tired, yeah. But, man, even that first series, though, where the Sharks played the Kings, that was a pretty close series, even though I think it was only 5 games.
It was only 5 games.
But every game was, like, decently close. Yeah. For stretches, it felt like, okay.
I think there was one, maybe two games where the Sharks... Like the last game of the series and like the second game of the series where the Sharks, I think they won by 2 or 3 goals.
Like everyone, after the series was over, made it sound like, yeah, San Jose dominated them. There were some times when LA looked pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, especially in the last minute of games.
In the last minute of those one-goal games. And that's not to take away from San Jose. They looked very good, too, but... LA was no pushover in that series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they gave the Sharks a tougher series than the Blues did, to be honest.
Man, the Ducks really screwed up, man, because if they had just brought back the same team, same coach, they'd be right back in it.
Yeah.
Easily. And this conference is weaker. Like
They're looking at Bruce Boudreau on social media like their ex right now and seeing all the fun that he's having with his new, significant other.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's even a question that the Wild are going to go further than the Ducks this year.
Yeah.
Actually, we should do a pod on the Wild because I want to...
Oh, yeah.
I want to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll bring someone on or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's hit up Russo. Dude, let's go big.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. We'll see. But yeah, man, they're freaking good.
They're really good.
Like I did not see this coming. I knew they'd be better with Boudreau, but I didn't because they've done it so unconventionally. That's the weird thing.
I mean, we're seeing guys like finally emerge, like Granlund. He's playing excellent. I think he just had a 12-game point streak snapped.
Yeah.
Jared Spurgeon's playing very well.
Yeah, Spurgeon, even like Dumba.
Yeah.
You know,
they're doing it all without really, their best player, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, Eric Halla.
Oh, yeah. And then, there's Devin Dubnyk.
Of course.
Who's playing out of his mind.
The I would say the preeminent favorite for the Vezina.
You know what I really want to do right now is play NHL 17.
We should do
that. Talking about all these different teams.
Click. You just hear everything turn off.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a cold outro.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We're not really like this podcast wasn't quite as organized as they tend to be, but you know, it was good to talk. We talked about Claude Julien,
yeah,
which was like what we had to talk about.
Yeah, it felt like that was our vegetables that we had to eat before we could get to the ice cream.
Everything at this point, like we've been talking about where teams have been in the standings and you know their success and their failures.
It's pretty static,
but yeah, you know, like everything like now is just gearing up for the trade deadline.
Well, yeah, because when that happens, then you really know who's going to be all in and who's kind of like, all right, guys, sitting this one out.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, okay, while we're at it, just since, you know, it's Friday night, feeling loose, I had a good pasta meal before this.
Yep.
Who do you got for the cup right now?
Wow.
Why not,
right,
man?
Now.
I'm just, like, shooting the breeze here.
Let's do this.
As a reminder, none of us can say Tampa.
Oh, that was that my preseason pick?
I hope so.
No, I don't think it was.
That would be bad, dude. You would look pretty stupid right now.
Well, yeah. See, like, teams are a lot harder to predict in my eyes than, like, when the season starts.
Yeah.
Because so much can happen.
And there's always...
You can only make your best educated guess.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't predict, like, injuries and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, because that's what happened with Tampa.
Yeah, and some teams just get unlucky, like... That sometimes that just happens.
Well, Boston, yeah. Okay, I'm going to say Washington.
Washington.
You think it's their time?
I think they're a really good team. I don't know if anyone can, besides Pittsburgh, can really keep up with them.
They're
even in the West, man. Like, I love Minnesota. I like what they're doing. I don't know if the Sharks have it in them this year. I just think as good as they look... I think there's just once they get there, it's going to be fatigue.
I'm honestly not judging them at all until the playoffs. Like, you know, they're doing well enough, but like it's like I know that they're going to be playing differently come playoff time.
Well, the thing is, to me, they look good. The way I look at them right now, they look like a contender. It's just I just think it's too hard. I think that the way the league is structured now, it's just really difficult to come back and be, you know, just as ready to go the next year.
It is.
Especially, mainly, and I know this is a cheap point, but mainly because the guys they rely on the most are the oldest.
Yeah.
You know, and you factor in the World Cup, you factor in a shorter summer. And where did the Sharks, the year before, how'd that end? I'm trying to think.
The year before last?
Yeah.
No playoffs.
No, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they missed.
Okay,
them and the Kings both missed.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's a lot. It's still a lot of hockey, all things considered.
Their path is kind of wide open.
Well, that's the thing is they're not really going to have to beat great teams. Although, I don't know, man. That first round matchup might really suck for them.
Yeah.
Because they're like.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Because they're going to have to play maybe Nashville, who's looking good.
Yeah, they're getting better.
You know,
maybe LA, maybe Calgary.
Yeah, maybe
Calgary won't. Calgary's not going to suck.
I'd be more worried about Calgary than LA at this point.
Depends.
Yeah, I mean, Calgary has to get over some teams
because Calgary can score. LA can't.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah, it's just like Calgary has to get over, you know, LA and Nashville. You know.
Yeah, I would.
No, just LA. LA's in the last wild card spot.
No. Yeah, I know, but. Like, my point is, like, that could flip-flop, because they're both tied, I think, in points at 60.
Okay, yeah. So who are your picks? Mine was pretty quick.
Joe, who you got?
I mean, this is all gut. Like, I'm not gonna hold this over you, although it is recorded, and, like, people are gonna listen to this.
Right now, Washington does look like a great pick, but they always do at this point in the season.
Especially this year.
Yeah.
This year.
So,
I mean, Pittsburgh looks great. And they won it last year.
And I wish I've been watching that I had watched more of their games, but the last game that Minnesota played against San Jose, you know, they looked dominant.
You think they're going to win the whole thing?
I think they could, yeah.
They have a chance. Okay, so is that your pick?
Why not?
Okay, Minnesota. Wow, that's ballsy.
I just really don't want to go with the two first place teams. Like I don't want.
That's okay. So sometimes being first place means you're the best.
I honestly just didn't want to go with the Sharks. I want to go with the Sharks.
You don't
want to
jinx them. You can pick them. It's not a bad pick.
I mean, it's
a very reasonable pick.
It's February 10th. I'll let you know in April what my pick is.
I don't know, man. I think you can. we're at that point now where teams are what they're going to be. Like, what are the Sharks really going to do at the trade deadline?
You might see them do something. I
don't think like, it's gonna be anywhere. Though? Like, what can they possibly do?
Depth.
But like, what? But again, they're pretty. What's their cap situation like? Aren't they pretty much capped out?
Yeah, I think they're right up against it. Yeah.
So they're gonna have to move someone to get someone. You know, it's not like they can just. And I don't even really think they have any moves to make.
To me, the thing that just needs to improve with them is special teams execution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they have the pieces.
Oh yeah. Like,
well, yeah.
In the playoffs, even if the Sharks are rocking a 0.0% on the power play the whole season, never going to happen, ever. The five players they throw out in the first power play of the playoffs, Thornton, Burns, Pavelski, Marlowe, Couture.
Yeah.
I mean, and that lineup is still going to give teams fits.
Yeah.
You know, not saying they can't be shut down even in the playoffs, but, you know, you can't sleep on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Sharks are right there. I'm not discounting them at all. No one's saying Chicago? Oh, come on.
Oh man.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I think we all know better. I think we all know better.
It's just going
to
be...
No love for Hartman?
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious to
Hartman's
see
mirage.
Minnesota play Columbus in the cup final.
Well, that's... Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Columbus, man. Yeah. That's disrespectful.
Yeah. God.
Okay, so who's your pick, man? This isn't hard.
I'm going circa 2008-2009. I'm going...
Detroit?
No. I'm saying it's going to be like that. It's going to be... It's going to be San Jose, Pittsburgh. They're getting back.
You're saying both?
They're getting back.
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised to see both teams back.
It wouldn't be shocking. I wouldn't be shocked.
That's why
I don't think it's probable. I think Washington's beating Pittsburgh in six.
You right do? Now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think fatigue is real. Like, I think that's a big factor.
Yeah. I just like Washington's team better than Pittsburgh's right now.
I mean,
they're better. They're just better.
They have
every aspect is better except maybe forward.
There's nothing to not like about Washington. I just
Braden Holtby.
Why would I believe
Braden Holtby right now might be my Vezina pick? It's him or Dubnyk. So
yeah,
you have the best goalie. You have a really good blue line. You have one of the like four best forward groups in the league. I mean, I don't know. Like, how do I not pick this team?
I literally don't have a good reason for you. It's just that...
Well, I think one thing you could say is that although their blue line is pretty good, it doesn't really have that like top guy.
Mm.
They don't really have that like Norris guy.
Right.
You know, that's one thing you could say. Although like guys like Carlson, Niskanen, Alzner, who's going to be a free agent, Orlov, Schmidt, they're all like quality defensemen, but they just don't have that kind of ace back there.
Yeah.
They don't have like a Brent Burns. You look at Pittsburgh. I mean, they have Letang. I mean, I'm starting to think Letang's a little overrated, you know?
Hot take.
In what way?
I just think that although he's amazing offensively, he's kind of limited defensively and as good as, and like the guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
I agree with your point.
And I'm saying,
I wouldn't use the word overrated.
Well, I think he might be slightly overrated. I'm not saying he's, you know, a Jonathan Taves who's like vastly overrated. He's
like injuries notwithstanding, whatever.
I don't think he's like one of the five best defensemen. You know?
No, but you know what you get offensively makes up for that. Like
right, yeah. Know. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, all that to say that although I personally think Letang has his limitations, you can still look at that blue line and be like, he's the guy. You know, and I know this is like super cliche stuff, but he's the top guy. Clearly, they have that one guy. Same thing with St. Louis. You know, you can look at
Petrangelo.
Shattenkirk's even around. Yeah, but you know, you got Petrangelo, although I wouldn't agree he's even their best guy. You know, Parayko. They have sort of like that horse. Why do I always call players horses, man?
It's weird.
Because they're strong.
Because they're strong and majestic.
I wasn't going to say majestic.
They shit a lot. Like, I don't know.
And their mane flows in the breeze.
They eat carrots.
Yeah.
Like, they have flies buzzing around them.
I mean, you know what? When the Washington Capitals trade for Kevin Shattenkirk, I will be on board.
Oh, my God.
I will be
if
on board.
If that were to happen?
I would be thoroughly on board.
Wow. If that were to happen?
That's a very interesting thought.
That would put them over the top.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of salary cap gymnastics there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But if they were to, that's an all-in move. And honestly, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, they should.
They could.
Ovechkin's 32? Yeah. 31 or 32?
Yeah.
He might be 32.
I think he's 32.
No, he might be 31.
No, and Crosby's 30, to be 30.
Because Ovechkin was the first pick in 04.
Yeah.
And Crosby was the first pick in 05.
Yeah, and the lockout.
Man, can you believe that? 2004, first overall pick, Alex Ovechkin. Second overall pick, Evgeny Malkin.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine the second overall pick and getting a guy who'd be first any other year?
Yeah.
Except the next year.
Except the next year. Yeah, but it's still like, that's Crosby. That's the crazy thing about Malkin is he's always going to be overshadowed by those guys. Like, if Malkin had just been born, let's say between, or not born, sorry, drafted between, let's say, the Crosby draft and fast forward to, like, McDavid. Mm. So between, what year was McDavid drafted? 2014? 15.
Yeah.
15. So between 2005 and 2015, if you just put him in the middle, let him have all the spotlight, he's probably going to get way more recognition.
Isn't that like soccer with Ibrahimovic?
If he had just been drafted, or if he had just come in, and, I don't know.
Yeah, because he's always behind Messi and Ronaldo.
Well, he's not nearly as good as Messi, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, Messi's so much better than Ronaldo. But that's me, though. Anyway.
That's as much as I know about soccer.
Messi is like... No.
I could see that Joe just completely maxed out all of his soccer.
Yeah.
I listed three guys.
No.
Felix started to go in and Joe was like,
I could do a soccer podcast. I think I could
I know you could.
Yeah. I like soccer. Soccer's like secretly my third favorite sport.
I got one more thing for you. Bayern Munich. All right, now I'm out.
Nice.
Now I'm out.
Yeah. My favorite sport, obviously, is hockey. Second, basketball. Third, probably soccer.
Yep. You grew up playing soccer as a lad.
As a wee lad.
And the rolling hills of Scotland. No, that's Ireland.
that would have been dope. But you look at I like football a lot. Like I can watch football. I can get into it. I can play fantasy, play Madden. But I don't think I would be really that into football if nobody else was.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a social thing. Like
especially with the Super Bowl because it's such a cultural event.
Yeah, it's like. It's kind of like, I don't know.
That was fun, by the way.
You're in or you're out.
I don't know if you want to go down that road, but the
Super Bowl?
That was so much fun.
I didn't watch a minute.
Joe did not watch
a minute. Why didn't you watch it?
I was playing.
Oh, that's right. You had a hockey
game. Not that I wasn't playing the Super Bowl. I was
you were on the field?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was, he was wearing the Edelman jersey.
I was wearing Brady's jersey. Come on.
Yeah. Well, the 49ers got a new coach.
Kyle Shanahan.
And then, didn't they do something else?
John Lynch,
GM.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he good?
John Lynch.
He's never done it before.
Yeah, he's never GM'd before.
That's fine. I mean, he can't be worse than Trent Baalke.
He was a very good player when he played. So.
Okay. And I mean, that's because that's worked out every single time.
Yeah. You
we've just been ragging on a guy this entire podcast, Joe Sakic.
You asked if he was good. You didn't ask if he was good at something specific.
What I meant by is he good is do you like the move?
I mean, with no experience, it's hard to go all in on it. But, like, when you're comparing him
to... Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, man.
Yeah, I'm in. When you compare him to Trent Baalke, yeah.
Okay, because he hasn't done anything wrong yet.
I don't give a crap.
I care. I got to freaking hear this team every Sunday because I live right by the stadium.
Yeah.
So, I want to... Like, all this traffic I'm dealing with, I better at least be for some wins.
I mean...
Not for a goddamn 2-14 season.
I would have been... Like, I would have been all in on Beyonce as a GM compared to Trent Baalke. Like... That dude, that's a clown question, bro.
Dude, general manager Beyonce.
Anyway, I'm just gonna ignore that.
She practically lives at Levi's Stadium. It feels like she was there like twice last year.
Okay, I wouldn't say that. Like, that means she practically lives there.
It feels like it.
Anyway, this is why we stick to hockey. Hashtag stick to sports.
I'm sorry for bringing up soccer.
Yeah. Well, hey, the Warriors look really good. Dude, they're like 45-8.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, whatever. I'll judge him during the playoffs.
Oh my god, you're so dumb. Anyway.
Dude, LeBron wants reinforcements.
LeBron, man.
Dude.
LeBron.
Does he want Melo?
If they get Carmelo Anthony, they're going to lose. They're going to get swept instead of 5 games by the Warriors.
Really?
I'll make that prediction right now. The Warriors are going to win the NBA championship this year in less than 6 games.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
So four or five games.
Against whom?
Against the Cavs.
Against the Cavs.
Or anyone, really. It doesn't matter. This team isn't losing.
Yeah.
I'm very, very confident. Very.
You should
confident be. Confident enough to say into a recording machine.
Yeah. All right. Everyone who's still listening, Mark those words.
Yeah, if you're still listening, congratulations, first of all.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Appreciate that. I totally understand if you're not. But, hey, man, Warriors.
I mean, there's every reason to feel good.
I mean, yeah, like, this isn't a, like, hot take. Although you would think it wouldn't be, but then people are so anti-Warriors.
Mm.
So anti-Warriors. I deal with it on a daily basis.
I mean, they hate you because they ain't you.
You literally go on any Warriors player on their Instagram, like, anytime, like, Curry, this is where we're at in social media. Curry will post a picture of, like, his daughter, okay, or something like that, and then someone will comment, okay, half the comments will just be L, and then someone will comment, or then another half will just comment, don't let this distract you from the fact that the Warriors blew a 3-0 lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just 3-0. Or no, sorry, 3-1. Yeah, 3-1. And that's the same thing with the Falcons.
Oh, God.
Like, they'll be like Trump will tweet something out, and then someone will respond, don't let this distract you from the fact that the Falcons blew a 25-point lead. You figured. You're all up in these weird trends, except, like, the ones that matter.
Well, is that why people were tweeting, like, 3-0 at him or whatever? Or...
Oh, I don't want to get into that. But,
I couldn't figure that one out.
Yeah, you don't
have to. That can be for off air.
Yeah. All right. Well, we could keep going, man. I could go all night.
There's no reason to stop at this point.
I just heard everyone tune off.
But yeah, I think we've talked about everything.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can hit us up on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. We always like hearing from you guys. We always appreciate a 5-star rating and review because it helps people notice the show. But this has been fun. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.